is online. That's Heather, B-O-E-R-N-E-R. She's been covering, every Sunday she has a column in the real estate section.
Robert, can I make one more point?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Becky.
Yeah, I talked to Arlene Vanderswan. I'm not sure that's exactly how her last name is spelled. And she's the real estate agent who's been dealing almost exclusively with De Anza properties in the last 10 years. And I said, if this goes through, the rent control is gutted, the residents are very old, so that you could presume that they're not going to live to be for the 34 years, or perhaps MHC can find some other way to get them to leave, and these go to market rate rents, is the city going to financially benefit? And she said, absolutely. That as the cost of the unit goes up, first there's sales revenue when the property is sold. If a property is sold at a much higher price, there's going to be more money. And then she said also property tax revenue from more expensive units. That didn't come up at any of the meetings that I'm aware of, that issue at all.
Well, maybe you can get in touch with her and find out exactly how much the city would benefit by. I mean, if it's a very significant amount, it might have influenced City Manager for Life Dick Wilson's estimate on this issue, I think, or someone in his department, mm-hmm. around why they urged the City Council to accept this deal, that it might have been in the background. I mean, of course, the claim was that there is a large window of legal vulnerability, a large area of vulnerability. And that's also been the claim of an occasional De Anza resident, well, one De Anza resident specifically, who hasn't gotten back to us. I keep hoping he will. He hasn't yet. But I have not seen specifics in terms of what the actual amount of legal vulnerability is, what the chances are that the Laird, I guess it's Assemblyman Laird's bill that will cover the legal costs is going to pass, how long that would take. All I know is that if there is to be an effective response, it seems to me the most immediate response has to be either direct action, where the community just demands the City Council have an emergency vote and reverse that law by, you know, some kind of peaceful but very dramatic action, sitting in people's offices, pulling De Anza trailers over to City Hall and parking them there. I don't know what it would be. Or
a wheelchair blockade,
you know, a die-in, you name it. I don't know. People are dying anyway, apparently going to the hospital for stress, and mm-hmm. Stress level way up, and that's something I certainly believe around this issue. And it'll get higher. It's not going to get lower if people try to lay over and roll over and die for this, when they roll over and try to be
There's
quiet.
There's no way that the city of Santa Cruz can replace the affordable housing represented by De Anza and Clearview Court.
Right, but the thing I'm suggesting is, in the absence of these CD actions, which does take another level of energy, this initiative and recall process is one that should and can and should be used immediately. It has to be done in such a way that within 4 weeks or less, you get 6,000 signatures to reverse the City Council vote of last Tuesday. And when you do that, I believe it goes on the ballot. You should also, of course, get some nice recall signatures while you're doing it, to recall Rotkin, Kennedy, Riley, the whole gang. I don't think much of Porter, but in this case, he took a good stand.
Well, people could discuss that at the meeting today at the De Anza Senior Mobile Home Park.
Well, all I can say is they better get busy. You know, I mean, this is a week later, and I don't know what they're discussing. I guess I don't know what they're discussing. I know,
right.
You know, this was in the cards. The minute it came out, it was 2 6-to-1 votes. After the first 6-to-1 vote, it was clear what was going on.
Mm-hmm.
After the second 6-to-1 vote, I don't see what other alternatives they have, unless they're deciding to, you know, get out of town or get themselves or lock themselves in these homes until they die, and then essentially say to their kids, you ain't got no equity, bye bye.
Note that the last thing the council did was to amend the budget to throw $125,000 into a hardship fund for anyone who's adversely affected by this. Well, that would be, you know, over a month's worth of legal fees right there.
Well, it's a one-time effort. I guess they feel they're getting off cheap. That's the deal.
Well, I'm just wondering about this, you know, that if they continue the fight, it's going to be expensive, and what do they have in the end? A bunch of poor people in affordable housing in the city. If they give up, they can save all those legal expenses and look forward to the day when they're going to get rich revenue stream from those areas. And that just really didn't come out at the council at all, as though it weren't a factor.
I should say I also left a message with Emily Riley a week ago requesting specifically some answers to these questions. I think I asked some of the questions that you were asking. Where did the $100,000 a month estimate come from? How large is the city's window of vulnerability? And most important to me, or certainly as important, why did not one council member discuss the proposal made by several DNs of people and mentioned perhaps by Ed Porter as well, that there be this financial assessment district set up and a solution like Capitola's solution tried? Not one council member came back with anything around that issue. It must have been discussed in the closed session between the city council's afternoon session and the evening session, because it was clearly there, and I just don't understand why it wasn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the whole thing stinks. And I think there's a lot more behind the scenes that we don't know about. I'm going to sign off, but
hey,
I was hoping you could give a little update on the John Maurer case.
Before I do, a brief update on the chalking case. I don't think we've done that either. You were found guilty of chalking some months ago, doing a peace sign and sleep is not a crime on the sidewalk.
On 14 square feet of public
around
sidewalk.
The time that we believed, although there had been, I think they'd taken Nate Kennedy to court for chalking all over the sidewalk, but it was generally agreed in peace demonstrations, people chalk on the sidewalk, guys. That's the nature of things. It's a free speech forum. It washes off and so forth.
And I had read the ordinance, and it didn't say anything about chalk writing being illegal.
Didn't say about chalk. And so you were taken to court at a cost of more than $10,000, prosecuted, found guilty by the city attorney and his wife.
Along with my co-defendant,
and a bunch of staff members came in, that's a huge number of city employees, seven, came into court to prosecute and or serve witness against you. You were found guilty. You did, 27 hours of community
23
service?
23 hours of community service.
23 hours.
And I got to pay $35 for the privilege of doing that.
Right, at the so-called community options, where your option is to pay or go to jail, I guess.
And you're only credited for $7.07 an hour, despite the fact that a living wage, according to city ordinance in the city of Santa Cruz, is $12.71
an hour. So on top of all this humiliation, you went back to court.
Then sued civilly by the city of Santa Cruz.
Jack Hayne,
small claim
manager,
court for the damages.
I'm going to zip past you, Becky, because I want to zip past you, because I've got about 12 minutes left in the show. You had Jack Hayne, the risk manager,
who is an attorney,
and you're not, took you to court in small claims court where attorneys are not allowed. Unless you're the risk manager, of course, and claimed that you owed $100 to clean up the sidewalk, even up on top of all these other community options charges, jail charges, the court costs you incurred, the time and the job lost, the four-month delay. I guess you had a teaching credential problem that we can't go into any detail, but your livelihood was delayed for 4 months because of essentially a false arrest.
That's correct.
By the city on the complaint of Mia Duquette, a city employee, in the collusion of various police officers, including Sergeant Lennon and Officer Hilliard, and I guess several others. Anyway, all this went down, and now most recent chapter in this farce, which I think is covered, you wrote an article about some of it on the Counterpunch website, www.counterpunch.org, called the Hopscotch Rebellion.
That's correct.
And you've written another article called Dear Commissioner about this whole incident where you went to court, small claims court, fighting to say that it was 84 cents worth that you of damage you did, and you're willing to pay him 84 cents.
Yeah, I submitted evidence at Commissioner Joseph's at the small claims court trial. A statement from Bob Farmer of Coyote Industrials, where he was giving a bid for cleaning the sidewalks in downtown, not of chalk, I mean of everything, gum and food and everything, at 6 cents a square foot. And I said, I chalked 14 square feet, I'll pay 6 cents a square foot, and I'll pay, 84 cents.
So we would have played that tape today.
I agreed to pay 84 cents.
We would have played that tape today, but Commissioner Joseph, although in a rare example of a grudging leniency, allowed you to make a tape of the recording of the court proceeding for your personal use, would not allow it to be played publicly or to be duplicated, and you were eventually found. They charged you a total of $160-odd. How much was it? Hello?
The outcome was that I was charged the full amount, $100, even though I that was for two physical addresses, and I only chalked at one physical address.
Right, so it was a total of $100 plus
$100 court plus, and they charged me $34 court costs.
So you charge an additional $134. What are they going to do, confiscate your box of sidewalk chalk now?
They could attach my wages or my assets.
Uh-huh.
to obtain that. And of course, that would be a hit on my credit rating if I didn't pay. But I don't.
Becky, thank you. I'm going to roll on you.
And for on that one.
For people who want more information, they can go to www.santacruz.indymedia.org.
And that's where Dear Commissioner Joseph is printed there, so you can read the account.
And the article
there.
Is Dear Commissioner.
Dear Commissioner Joseph.
Dear Commissioner Joseph, thank you. Thanks. Anything else you want to say about any other updates?
I just want to hear about the John Mauer case.
Oh,
I'm sure
our
public
wants
to hear about that, too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. We have only got about 9 minutes left. Zipping right along. A lot of things have been happening. John Mauer went to court. I believe we're going to be posting that flyer, Begging for Justice, which was the flyer which talked about the John Mauer case up to his court hearing on Friday, where he went with attorney Paul Sanford. Mauer was accused of wearing a small Fuck the Pigs sign in his hat, and also he had some sign or indication he was soliciting peacefully for money. And before I finish that case, we'll take this quick call. Hi, you're on Free Radio. Hello.
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 And then I want to read you.
Yes.
Yes, I want to shut up Pepe Payaso in San Francisco. I want to say Cubide a Pepe anyone that's cool in San Francisco.
We're having real trouble understanding you. I can't really quite follow what you're saying.
Hablo español, poquito.
Poco, un poco. Tú tienes 30 segundos, ¿verdad?
Okay, 30 segundos, okay.
Sí.
Quiero mandarle un cubo de Pepe, payaso. Era su show aquí en Santa Cruz. Y quiero mandar un cubo de a él, a San Francisco. El school.
Mi problema es mi español es demasiado pequeño para entender todo eso, pero si hay alguien que habla español, se puede entender y está bien. That's all I can tell you at this time.
Poquito mi y yo poco español, ya,
muy poco. I gotta go, man.
Poco.
Necesito que ir más tarde. Cinco minutos en este programa, ¿verdad?
5 minutos en su programa.
Sí.
Tengo
que hablar. I have to say a lot, so I gotta go.
Mira.
Next time.
Muchas gracias.
So, sorry. But I do want to get through the Mauer case before the end of the show, and I only have, looks like, 6 minutes, not five. So I was saying, John Mauer was defended ably by Paul Sanford. Interesting situation. He came to court charged with soliciting with profane language for this Fuck the Pigs sign. On that sign, they gave him two different citations. He got the sign because he had... he put it on his hat. He's not normally that kind of a guy who's particularly vulgar in his language or loud or rude. He is out there on the streets, and you can see him occasionally panhandling in front of the Palomar. I guess now he's actually working. He's working at one of the booths, working at the hot dog stand. So he's gotten a job, and he's doing that. But he was accused, but he got two citations by the city. Constitutional lawyer Paul Sanford took it on, saying that's outrageous. If you want to criticize the police with a Fuck the Pig sign, you should have the right to do so, provided you're not, you know, running around screaming at them and interfering with what they're doing or assaulting them. Police, you know, anybody, if you want to criticize anybody that way, that is your right to do it. I mean, you might not get many supporters, but that's how it goes. He went to court, and the city, when they heard that Sanford was on the case, tried to drop the case because they didn't want to have the chance that their law was going to get thrown out. Sanford insisted that he had a right to challenge the law. Then Commissioner Joseph sided with the city, wouldn't even let Sanford present his arguments. And we're going to actually have Paul Sanford talking about this, I'm hopeful, on Thursday when the show returns between 6 and 8 in the evening. We do a second show. So hopefully we can get his specific plans. But as I understand it, he's now going to take the John Mauer case into federal court. He's going to try to sue for the unconstitutionality of this law because he feels that he got a raw deal in Commissioner Joseph's court, that the city attorney is acting at the very best unprofessionally, and that, moreover, the rights of people have to be protected here in Santa Cruz, even the rights of people who have signs that some regard as profane. That's the language of the statute says no soliciting with profane or abusive language. And of course, Maurer was sitting there with a soliciting sign, but his other sign criticized the police, and that's the basis for they're going after him. They're going after a lot of people downtown. The crackdown continues. They're using the same move-along law being used against Steve Argue, and that was used against Matthew Hartog and others, against poor people and against musicians. I don't think they are renewed their. I don't think the police have renewed their campaign against political tailors, though Huff may find out when Huff sets up a table downtown. And that may happen soon, because there are some weekend events coming up next weekend that the Downtown Association is throwing, and I think Huff is going to be there with its own table to try to add a different perspective to the situation. Also happening last week was a Bajani Romero. Bajani is part of the jaywalking massacre, another action by the police force to harass people in front of Borders. The kids that hang out at Borders used to be at Hippie Corner, then at Hippie Planter, and at different places, Cathcart and Pacific moved to the New Leaf Market and so forth, moved to the Pacific Cook Company, moved to Borders as they gentrify the mall and try to drive away classes of people that they think are not profitable or that to alarm certain classes of customer. Romero was one of the people who jaywalked across the street. Let us say they crossed Pacific Avenue the way thousands of people do each day, not at a crosswalk. This apparently to support a deaf man who the police screamed at. He was jaywalking and insisted he come up, and they jacked him up. That's Def Jam. And they had at one point, which I didn't see but was reported independently by four or five different witnesses, somewhere around 13 to 15 police officers and at least 8 squad cars, 5 of them parked along Pacific Avenue blocking traffic, to stop this jaywalking menace, actually, of course, to intimidate the citizenry, the same kind of social control we talked about earlier in the show that's used in psychiatry to intimidate patients, the same kind of social control that is used by the police force to criminalize such obvious functions, and the city council actually did it, but the police force originally proposed it, the sleeping ban that criminalizes sleeping outside or in a vehicle after 11 o'clock at night. And all this stuff has to be fought. And I hope that you out there are doing your best to hold the line against the kind of just bad policy, bad politics, bad policing that all this really entails. We talked about bad science and bad medicine for psychotropic drugs and these brain-damaging drugs that are being used. Now we're talking about the kind of bad policing, even though bunches of people are being promoted by the Santa Cruz Police today. If you find that in the Sunday paper, the reality is there's a very interesting history behind a lot of these folks who are getting the promotions. Perhaps on Thursday we can talk about Lieutenant Patty Sapone. Now, I guess, again, talk about, he's gone from Sergeant Clark to perhaps Lieutenant Clark. I guess it's Deputy Chief Sapone now. Lots of things happening that need to be discussed. No time to discuss them. And we're going to have to do that another time. Huff meets every Wednesday, 8:30 in the morning. Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom is a place where you can discuss these issues. And Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom meets at 8:30 at Baker Square at 8:30 on Wednesday morning. You're welcome to come to that meeting. And, of course, you can also try to get on this radio show if you'd like. I've got news. I'd like to put out whatever news you have to the community. Give me a call off air at 423-HUFF, 423-4833. In the studio with me, we have, I'm not sure if he's wearing his Police Stop Police Abuse Now hat, his community television hat, his Kick Robert Norris Out of the Green Party hat. What am I saying? That's the old time. That's yesterday's news. He didn't do anything wrong. Yeah, you didn't press the button. Yeah, or possibly your playwright hat, which you've been doing some... The playwright hat. All right. What's the word, playwright? What news have you got for us?
Am I on the air?
Not yet. You're about to be. Go ahead.
Okay.
This is Nutcracker Nick Whitehead.
Nutcracker Nick here. I'm going to do a piece, a street theater piece. It's going to be very brief and... need to cash to have lots of roles for all kinds of people, experienced or not, big and small people. The play is called A Jiggle a Juggle, street theater. It's about the adventures of Tom Noodle, a street juggler, and it's in the battle of the street performers against the city authorities. It brings in weapons of mass destruction, it brings in the Down Frown Business Association, and it brings in the Patriot Act, so it's got a little bit of everything. Why don't we have a competition among the listeners to write a 1.5 to 2 minute section about tabling, how the First Amendment only applies for 1 hour at a time if you have a politically oriented table, because I haven't written that part. So if anybody wants to be in this street theater or try to write that part of the skit, here's the number, 475-2012. That's Nicholas at 475-2012. All right.
Is there a number people can call you at, or?
That's what I just
said. Oh, yes, 475-2012. Oh, boy, this show has gotten to me, I'm afraid.
You are mentally deranged from that program you were running.
I need some drugs fast, man. Can you get me some? If anybody has any tranquilizing drugs, or possibly one of those wet packs, or maybe something that will get me. Anyway, this is pretty much the end of Bathroom Spears Broadsides. Nick, thank you, and if you want to be a part of the show or you want to do some writing for this particular show for a Nutcracker, Nick here, 475-2012 is the number to call. He, of course, has done several famous shows in the past, and I hear the sounds of the internal Gestapo breaking in, or possibly not. that don't take kindly to being referred to in that fashion. So, no, I want to point out that this is done with. Whoops, here he is. He's coming in. But you can't lock out certain members of this collective. They are here, and we've got to go. So thank you for being with me. Thank you for listening into the long show.
Hey, you're on the web there, right?
And I believe we're on the web. What do you mean?
You're on the internet, right?
I think free radio streams.
No, you got the web opened up. Why don't you go to dictionary.com?
I'm getting some instructions here.
And look up the word stifle.
Okay, well, we're going to have some grammatical assistance here from one of our experts, who actually, I was going to ask you, Vinny, and I know I haven't got any time for this, but I've heard rumors that free radio stations right and left are being shut down. Is that true? Have you heard more gloomy news?
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Oh, I just heard from old-timer Tom Schreiner that there were several free radio stations that have been shut down in the last couple of weeks he's heard of, and I hadn't heard of that, and I thought maybe you had.
I have not.
Well, maybe he's mistaken. Or
I know that Olympia, Washington, our genderless sibling station to the north that has been rebroadcasting our live web stream, got a visit or got a letter or something in the mail, a certified letter, and they have since ceased operations are searching for higher ground. And so we're going
to...
Maybe
he's referring to that. I was about to put on your song, Vinny, the one that you played earlier that I think you drew to my attention. What's the name of it? Oppositional Defiance Disorder.
Oh, yes. David Horowitz.
Which I think is really appropriate given the long Mad in America subject matter. Thanks for being with me for this show. Tune in again on Thursday, 6 to 8, and stay off those drugs.
Though he joined every vile records and the indie music disc. Well, his parents didn't like such turns of events, so they sent off a couple of thugs. Bring him back to Utah, lock him up, pump him full of drugs. They say he's got a problem with authority, yeah, this is what they claim. And their psychiatric analysis has even got a name. Oppositional Defiance Disorder, I think I got it too. Oppositional Defiance Disorder, he's sick and so are you. If you think George Bush is a moron and Tony Blair's a liar, if you fantasize about setting your local Walmart on fire, if you don't like Tom Brokaw and you think he's full of it, if you think a Rush Limbaugh punching bag might be kind of fun to hit, if bombing other countries makes you feel appalled, you have got a problem and this is what it's called. Oppositional Defiance Disorder, I think I got it too. Oppositional Defiance Disorder, he's sick and so are you. don't like your congressman and you call him a corporate tool. If you were not standing to sing Save the Queen, if you turned down hamburgers and eat rice and beans, we've got a diagnosis no matter whether you agree. Just do what the doctors tell you, thank God for psychiatry. Oppositional defiance disorder, and so are you.